My name is Jerry Smith, and I'm with the Fisher Body Historical Team. And this is November 1st of 2005. And we're doing an interview with Lloyd Bruce Service. And we're doing it at the Union Hall today. And the other members of the group are...
Mike Fleming.
Doug Rademacher.
Cheryl McQuaid.
Doreen Howard.
And we're Lloyd interviewing...
Service.
Go ahead.
Lloyd Service.
And your address?
402 North Deerfield, Lansing.
And you're a male.
See.
And are you married?
I was.
You're still married.
Oh.
How many children do you have?
6 children.
How many, do you remember how many grandchildren?
15.
Great-grandchildren?
3.
Hey, you're doing good. How long have you worked at Fisher Body?
51 years today.
Today. And you're, when did you retire?
December of 04.
So you're just a new retiree.
Yeah.
Okay, when you first, do you remember your higher end date?
11-1-54.
Do you remember your first job?
Knocking handles.
Explain what that consisted of.
Putting the inside door handles on. You had to push them on and hit them with a hammer.
Do you remember how long you did that job?
About 6 months, I guess.
And then what did you do after that?
Well, I went to lower quarters, putting them in convertibles and two-door hardtops. From there, I went to installing interior moldings.
So most of your jobs have been all in trim area?
All trim.
What was the shop like when you first went in there?
Well, it was about the same as it was when I left. Outside of, at that time, you didn't have break time. You were on a swing shift, 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off. Wages were a lot lower then, $1.48. And that was good money compared to the rest of the companies like Duotherm and Motor Wheel at that time. But the people are all good. Supervision, I couldn't say anything real bad about any of them. I enjoyed it. That's why I stayed.
So what were some of, how long was it before you got into repair and the different things you're
doing
now?
I was into repair in 1957. And from there, I stayed until I retired. And I was laid off, usually in the summertime when we had model change. Of course, it used to be in the fall, then it moved up to summer, then it, the last time it had been down to the break of 4th of July. Yeah, I took part in the strikes. I was a captain a couple of times. I think the longest one was... 40-some days.
What year was that?
In the 60s, I believe.
60s?
Sir?
Mike Fleming, you said you were a captain. Could you explain what you meant by being a captain?
Well, I had each gate and entranceway in the Union Hall I oversaw. So if anything went wrong, they came to me to find out what to do. And in one case, we had the checks coming in at the North Gate. And they called me, and I went over there, and I wouldn't let the truck in. So my protection finally decided, you got to let him in. I said, no, he's not going in. So they brought their scooter out, got the checks, took them back in the plant. And the driver, he thought it was real great fun. He said, you're doing a good job.
Doug Rademacher. Lloyd, you were a captain. Do you remember who the strike chairperson was at that time?
I don't know if it's Andy Graham or not. I don't remember who it was. It's quite a while ago.
Do you remember what the strike was for?
Wages, of course. Better working conditions. Insurance. And there wasn't anything for the retirees.
Lloyd, would you share, what was the extent of your education?
I finished high school and 1 year of college.
Did you have any military service?
No.
Would you tell us where you, what you did before you hired into Fisher Body?
I worked at Duotherm as a truck driver, Ford truck driver. And they had a layoff, and I got into Fisher Body.
Now, you shared that when you hired in, which area you said you hired into?
Trim.
Into the trim department. Can you tell a little bit more about that first day? Was it a scary moment? Was the factory bigger than you thought? What was it going through your mind when you were walked in from employment to the workplace?
Well, when they took us up there, the foremen were congenial, of course, when they first meet you. And they put me over in not knowing that you had 3-day break-in. But we did have a 3-day break-in, but they didn't tell us that. They put me on the job, and about noon I was on to it. And then they announced the time. It was going to be 8:05 or something like that. And not knowing how they work, I asked the foreman, I said, who's going to take my place? 8 hours. Oh, no. He said, you stay until that line goes down.
Were you shared any union orientation that first day?
No. We didn't have it back then. This is something new where they come in, when they hire in, they go in for an orientation. I don't know how long that's been in effect. But.
So they put you on door handles, you said?
Yeah, inside door handles.
Inside door handles. Now, was that an easy job for you to do, something easy to pick up, or was that harder job?
Well, I picked it up, I knew. There's a trick to it. And after I found the tricks out, then it was just getting the right color on the right job. At that time you had, for the cheap job, you had to match the color up with the interior trim. If it was blue, you put blue handles on. If it was black, put black handles on. If it was red, you put red handles on. If it was a deluxe car, you put chrome handles on.
What vehicle were they producing at that time?
Pontiac Bonneville convertible, Oldsmobile 98 and 88.
When you first came in, was there very many women or minorities in the workplace at that time?
Quite a few.
Quite a few women?
Yeah.
Now, were they in special areas, or did they work in
the... No, there were some on the line.
There were some on the line at that time.
One of the outstanding ones was Dorothy Stephen, Vivian Speck, Helen Revis. There were quite a few around.
Doug Rademacher, would you... You just said they were exceptional, or what was the word you used?
What?
The type of women. You said those were some exceptional women?
That I remembered.
And what made them exceptional above the, what you...
Well, Dorothy and I had it out when I was on committee. And I used a few foul language towards her to get her woke up. And she come around. And she came back to work. And Vivian, she was kind of up and down the line. And Helen, She was very outspoken. If she didn't like something that was going her way, she'd come right out and tell the foreman.
Mike Fleming, can you share with us when it was you were elected? You said you were on committee. When you were elected, and some of the, how long you were involved with the union and being a committee person?
I think it had to be in the 60s. And I was on alternate and then regular committee about 15 years.
So you had an opportunity to work for your fellow workers and represent them. How did that change the way you felt about the work environment from just being a regular employee going to being a committee person?
I don't think it changed my way of thinking at all. I think the union was doing what they could at that time, and the people were, most of them were without problems, but there was a few with problems, and some of them were racially motivated, supposedly, by the people, and we got it straightened out pretty nicely. And then some of the people on the line, I remember one fellow in particular that I got back into work, and he was fired. I got him back into work, and people on the line didn't appreciate that. But nevertheless, he had rights just as like anybody else did.
And that's somewhat the job of a committee person, is so it's a thankless situation where you never get a lot of thanks for the things you really do. Your relationships with some of the general foremen and foremen, how did that work out for you?
Well, both ways. I had fun with them, and I also had times when I caught them and served a 215 on them, which didn't mean a hill of beans, but it made them stop and think, and they had to fill it out. But general foreman I caught going through the water test, he wasn't supposed to be in there.
Explain 215, please.
Well, that's where a foreman performs a job in place of an employee. If they need a foreman on the line, then they ought to hire somebody.
Doreen Howard, going back to when you first hired in, can you recall, was there any pranks or anything that they did to the new hires at that time when they first came in?
No. Not in my area, anyway.
Later on, did you ever get involved in pranks on people? Or
oh, yeah.
What were some of the things that you guys used to do?
Well, we had one fellow that threw a 5-gallon bucket of water on this fellow. And consequently, he didn't like it too well, and so he grabbed the fire hose. Kind of hosed him down. And so I had to go out and clean off the convertible top because the rust coming out of the fire hose was so great. You got the convertible tops all rusty. And then we had the same fella. We had a man that said he could pick up three people at one time. So they talked this guy into it. And when they got him down, they had him where he couldn't move, and he unzipped his pants and siliconed him.
Oh.
So consequently, he went up into the John that sat in the horse basin and horse dog. But there was always practical jokes going on, sometimes. Even on the foreman's, Cocky Van Buren. I don't want them windows open level. That's on the linden side where it used to be. You could open them up with a chain. And so they put water up there. And he'd come along and see that. He said, I told you, and he'd jerk it. Of course, he'd get wet. We had our times.
Okay, one of the questions here is, have you any other family members that work here?
Not at this point, no.
But you have in the past, right?
Yeah. Kent, he got transferred over here from Oldsmobile. When they got laid off, now he's back at Oldsmobile. He decided to go back.
And Kent's here?
Kevin, he was a line person, then he went to foreman, and now he's over at Grand River plant as a foreman.
And your daughter-in-law, too, right? Cindy still works.
Yeah. Yeah, Cindy Service works too.
And also, as you and I being neighbors, I know that besides working here, you've had another job. What other job have you done since you've worked here
at Fisher Body? I drove a school bus for 40 years with Waverly Schools, and I retired last May.
So you worked at Fisher Body for 50 years, and you drove school bus for 40.
Yeah.
Wow.
So did you work second shift?
Second shift.
All the time you were here, did you work the second shift?
No. We were on swing shift till about, I think it was 50, 56, maybe 55. And that time Don Steer, had... he was over the union then. He wasn't the president, bargaining committee. And they wanted a straight shift. Consequently, I maintain the farmers got changed to a straight shift. That doesn't mean it was, because the farmers could have worked. Regardless, somebody opposite them would have stayed on the job. They wouldn't have had to swing back and forth. But anyway, I went to a straight shift. 3 weeks was kind of hard. The first week was hard, the second week was easier, the third week you were right back into it, and then bang, you were back on nights or days. So you had to start all over.
Did you prefer the night shift then?
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Cheryl?
You said that you worked repair most of the time.
Yeah.
Did they always said never buy a vehicle on Friday. Did you find any truth to that with all the repair that you were doing?
No. I don't think it made a difference. If they were going to have a bad day, they had a bad day. Irregardless. The superintendent got my truck for me. I think it was 15 or about 2000. I ordered the truck, and they told me it'd be April. And he got it put ahead till December the 17th. Well, that's like you and I know that. A taboo, supposedly. But I asked him, I said, can't you get that moved up the 1st of December? And he said, what's the matter? Are you afraid that they're going to get drunk and mess it all up? And I said, no, if something's wrong with it, it's going to sit in the lot for 2 weeks until they get it done. Well, he said, it goes on the line at 8:15, I think it was. In the morning. He said it'll be off Wednesday. It'll be on the truck Thursday, and you'll pick it up Thursday night. So I called the dealer, and I said, I'd like to know if my truck's in. The dealer said, I told you it'd be April. I said, well, you better check your log. He says, I don't know how you did it, but your truck's here. They still do it.
It's been a fine truck?
Pardon?
Has it been a fine truck?
I don't know. 3 trucks ago.
Oh.
I got a different truck out there now. Still a General Motors truck, though.
Mike Fleming, talk about the vehicles and that you have had during your time at GM. Were they mostly GM vehicles? What types of vehicles have you purchased?
I had Buicks, Chevrolets, and GMC.
So pretty much all GM vehicles.
Yeah, I had one Ford pickup. Back, I think before I went, no, just after I hired in, I got that. But it's been all GM.
Great, that sounds like a really great deal. I want to ask you about being right next door to the high school. I'm sure they had a lot of football games that were going on. Do you or anybody that you know of had an opportunity to watch the football games when the kids were playing over there?
Oh, yeah. There was guys that went over there and watched it. Even though it was my alma mater, I didn't care too much about high school football. Yeah, if they won, they won. Great. But, as far as leading the line to go over there, no.
Doreen Howard, I'd like you to go back to describe what the environment was for the trim department when you first hired in versus the changes that came about during the course of your employment up until your retirement. What were some of the changes that you saw happen in the plant?
Well, the smoking was the biggest thing. That was a change. Then we got refrigerated fountains. And, the jobs were a little, you might say, loose, some of them, and some of them were tight. But then they started getting tighter and tighter and tighter. I could see it on the line, even though I didn't work the line. I was, cost-wise, they wanted to get everything down cheap as they could to make more money. And they always said that these cars that we built, they weren't making any money on, especially the Grand Am and all this. But I don't know, they sold an awful lot of them. I don't know where the money went to.
What about the lunch wagon? Do you remember the wagon that used to go around?
Yeah, we had 6 minutes for that. And they had ice in the bottom for milk and juices and apples and sandwiches and cookies and whatever. We lost that. It was supposed to have been put on our relief time that we finally got.
On the relief times, did you prefer the tag relief or the mass relief?
Tag relief. We got taken in, trim shop got taken in on that when they went to mass relief. They said it was going to be plant wide. It ended up as only trim wide. I went to the election or the voting on it over at school. And saw John, the insurance man.
Anthony.
The next day. And I said, well, how'd the vote go? He says, well, I went over there to help him vote, count votes, and he said they were all done. That's a half hour. And I counted 3,000-4,000 votes. I don't believe it. It was a put-up deal.
Mike Fleming, at that time, you obviously held a plant-wide election at Sexton High School?
Yeah.
Can you remember anything else about that particular election that stood out, like who was the chairperson for the elections committee? Who was in place at that time?
I don't remember who it was.
Was it paper ballots?
Yeah. And you could get as many paper ballots as you wanted. You go in one door and they'd hand you one. And you go in the other door and they'd hand you another one. You go in another door and you go out the door, they'd hand you one. You could have had a half a dozen ballots. No rhyme or reason why it ever got passed, but it did, supposedly. But how can you count that many votes in a half hour time? It takes the election committee 2 days.
Doug Rademacher. Lloyd, would you share one of your favorite memories about working in the Fisher Body plant?
Well, I've had so many of it.
Is there one where you had an impact on something that was rewarding or good for the company or for you?
No, I can't. I can't think of anything but maybe the Christmas dinners or something like that. You bring a dish in to pass, and we always had one lady that ran the thing. By running it, she made the rules. Foremans, some of them kicked in, some of them did. But they were allowed to, superintendents were allowed to get theirs first before the employees were, which I thought was wrong. And I told her one day.
Mike Fleming, you've been in the repair arena for some time, like you said. How many partners have you outlasted? Did you have someone you worked with?
When I first went on repair, that was in the old building. And I worked the line then. And after that, we went up to the new building. I was on the line. In the horseshoe, they called it that time. That was where they came off the line. They went on to this horseshoe and final repair there, or they were shipped down to Building 17. Well, I worked my way from being on the horseshoe to the end of the horseshoe, which was a better job. And consequently, I was sent down to Building 17, where there was a fellow opposite me on days, and I was the only one on nights. And what repair came down, that was my job to get. And if I had seats to put in, I usually got a fellow out of water test. He came over and helped me on some of them. Some of them I put in by myself. And fortunately, he went on repair. But I was down there, the only time I'd see a foreman is possibly if he brought the check down or the stock chaser would bring the check down. I was down there for, 15, maybe 18 years by myself.
Wow. So was your opposite in place as long?
Yeah.
Did you have more service time than that individual, or did he leave before you?
No, he had more service time than I did.
Really?
And then the fellow that took his place had more time. It was always the joke that I couldn't go to days because he had more seniority, which he did.
Yeah.
I could have gone someplace else on repair, but not that job. Then they moved us to Building 23. I still stayed on nights. And when they got the new paint shop built, they sent us back out to Building 2, or Building 3X, second. And then we went down to ground floor. That's the first time I'd ever been on the ground floor.
You know, Mr. Service, you're certainly a legend with 50 years of service at General Motors. Can you talk about leading up to the last days before you left here? Did they do anything special for you? Did your group or the management or, you know, what happened during your last days?
Well, Colleen was supposed to take, let's get back. Andy Graham, when somebody retired, would take a sheet around and have the co-workers sign it. Well, when it came my turn, Colleen brought it up to me and she said, here, you can take it around and get it signed. I said, I don't think so. If that's the way it's going to be, I don't want it. And I had been with John Anthony, about September, I collared him. We talked about it. And he got the paperwork all done, and nobody knew that I was going. I don't think, except maybe my partner. And the last day of work, we had a sub foreman or one of those. You run a foreman?
Contracted foreman.
Well, it happened to be that he'd been my foreman before when he was in the plant. And a fella came down and out of maintenance. And he said, you ready to go? And I said, I'll be ready to go about 10:30. Okay. So he came back down about 10:30, and we weren't supposed to take our boxes out. That was a no-no. I shoved the box on there, and we took the long way around and went out the door, and I had it in my truck and out the parking lot before he got back in the plant. Now all these boxes that they should have let us take out in the first place, that we've had for years, we're going to scrap them.
Doreen Howard, can you explain what the boxes are and how did you get those boxes?
They were given to us to hold our tools in. When I first went on repair, you had to buy your own tools. Then they replaced them. Or if something new came up that required a different tool, they would provide it. So over a period of years, I collected some tools, plus special tools that I made myself to make the job easier. And I don't think it had been too much for them to give them the boxes to the fellas when they went out, especially the ones that had been there quite a while.
Mike Fleming, let's go back to the 50-year service. And what types of things did the corporation give you through your tenure of time? You know, we have, 10 years, 15 years. Can you remember some of the things that were given?
Tie tax for each 5 years. They eliminated them. And at 25 years, you got a clock or a watch or whatever. And at 50 years, I got this ring, but actually it's supposed to be for 25. They don't have any 50s. But yet I got another notice in the mail for me to fill out this form and send it in and get something else. I don't know if I should or not. Mm. But we got glasses. We got, a keychain when they had a bunch of them emblems left over. The rocket.
Do you still have all your memorabilia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you still have your old Fisher Battery badge, your metal badge?
I think so. I've got one of my cards, too. Well, I got two cards. Those pictures on.
Mike Fleming, that would be your time cards? Is that you're talking about?
No, the ID cards.
ID cards? So you did see the change, you were there when they had punch cards to electronic entry.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about the punch cards and trying to get out of the plant room when you had to punch out versus the electronic. Was there a big difference there?
No, I don't think so. We had, usually we worked over, repair group worked over. We might work 2-3 hours overtime. And they'd come around and say, this is going to be punch out time. So consequently, somebody'd stay, made sure we all got punched out, the rest of us would go. And then it got to the point with the electronic. The foreman would say, well, we're going to, I got you covered to this time. So we just go out and you fill it in. So I already got you down for your hours, so go.
So by virtue of were you working longer than the line, you didn't have to stand in line to deal
no.
with the mass of people.
When we had punch cards, them lines got quite long.
Doreen Howard, you were here when the plant was called Fisher Body, correct?
Yeah.
Could you give me your feelings and the feelings of the people that you worked with when they had the name change from Fisher Body to the BOC? And
we didn't recognize it. We still talk about Fisher Body. I got a Fisher Body hat to home. Probably a collector's item. I went in to talk about the time card. I forgot my ID card. Of course, you could piggyback in if you wanted to. But I went up there and went by the rules and called in, gave my Social Security number, name. He said, we can't find you. He said, we don't have any record of you. I said, are you sure? I said, get a hold of my foreman then. So that was a big joke that went around. I'd been there so long, they never got me on the computer. And consequently, they let me in.
Jerry Smith, you were talking about you did the bus driving and the working at Fisher Body too, and then what did you do in the summer times for your relaxation during the shutdown?
Well, for a while we just go camping, and then we got to the point where we bought a boat, and we'd use that boat in the summertime, and consequently I went to school and got my captain's license, so we run a charter boat yet, and my son runs one too. I had the advantage of being up there for 6 months this year, and the wife couldn't take it for 6 months, and she had to come home, but I enjoyed it. It's on Lake Michigan. We go out salmon fishing.
Was it good fishing this year?
Excellent.
Was it?
In fact, when I left, some of the guys that still had their boats in, they're going out to the 36-mile or 36-line, and there was 2- and 3-year-olds out there. They were bringing in 20, 22, 23 fish. Long ways out, but there's a lot of fish out there, and they said some of them had perch on them. They were spitting little baby perch out of them. So hopefully that perch will come back where you can get them close to shore, like it used to be.
So you're going to be enjoying your summers now, more fishing time then?
I'm going to be enjoying it up north.
Yeah.
Lloyd, you said, Doug Rademacher, Lloyd, you said 26-mile mark, isn't that? Is that halfway to Wisconsin? Is that what you're
not quite? 36 line. It's quite a ways out there.
Now, your coworkers, they're considered a family. Did you consider your coworkers brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I just had Al Dietrich call me the other day and want to know what was going on. I've been thinking about it, so we must have had something in common. But I was wondering about what he was doing down in Alabama, because he goes down there quite a bit. He's got a house down there. He told me all about that. I stopped in Silver Lake and saw another one of my co-workers that I worked with. I stay in contact with a few of them. Jim Hardy, he was my supervisor, and then he was my partner. He's in bad shape. So I should get up there and see him before things end.
Do you offer a discount to the UAW members for your fishing charters?
Everybody pays the same.
Everybody's the same. A job's a job, huh?
Yep.
That's Doug Rademacher. You said you were active in your union and you did hold office. Do you participate in any of the activities other than the representing the workers in the plant? Did you do things with the union on a recreational basis? Did you do any of those things?
No, I was a sergeant-at-arms for, I don't know, a couple of times. That was about the basic. Then when they had the strike, I was in there helping get the food around, getting it warmed up, make sure the coffee was passed out to the people when it was cold, and got their rolls to them in time. But as far as Sportsman Club, I belonged to the Oldsmobile until they quit coming around to collect dues anymore, so I don't belong to that anymore.
Have any of your skills that you learned as a repairman carried over outside of the shop?
I worked on quite a few cars. Not mine, but other people. I worked on one fellow's car. He had a back glass, and I took it down, took it out. Took it down and had him weld it back on the channel. And the guy said, I don't know if it'll break the glass or not. I said, well, if it does, we'll give him a new glass. I got the glass back in and checked it all out, heard a rattle. There laid a pair of channel locks down the bottom of the door that evidently come from the factory when it was built. So,
Cheryl McQuaid, did you, you said that you had made tools to help you repair some stuff. What kind of tools did you make?
Well, scratch awls that were bent a certain direction to reach in to trip something that normally you'd have to take the whole unit out to work on it. Screwdrivers that were bent. Pliers that were added onto to put clips on. Take dings out of moldings with pliers. Certain things like that.
Okay, Jerry Smith, the environmental conditions in the plant, you noticed a lot of changes there about how they've changed over the years on how, you know, like you've heard the dark, dingy days of when you first started to when you left?
Well, I think it was worse when I left than it was beforehand because the departments are taking it over and had to clean it up. In our area was pretty good, but there was other areas that weren't taken care of. I don't think it could have been taken care of better, but that I didn't work there, so I didn't care. When I first went in there, you had to wait for the guy to come by. If you saw the sweeper coming, because he coming down the line, and he was sweeping the line when the line was running, and you just moved out of the way for him for a minute, and he went right on by. Kept the papers picked up. Then they went to the bags you put in the barrels, and that made it a lot better. And I turned a suggestion in for barrels in the parking lot. And the reply was that, no, we can't do that because you have a condone eating or drinking in the parking lot. So 15 years later, what they do, they put barrels in the parking lot. I didn't get anything out of it.
Well, this is Doug Rademacher. You said there that you turned in a suggestion. Can you share how many suggestions did you think you turned in over the period of your work life?
Oh, probably a dozen.
Were any of those implemented?
Yeah. I got paid off on, I forget what the first one was I got paid off on. The second one, we had problems with the Pontiac rubber, CV rubber on the back door. Wouldn't adhere. In order to fix it, they had to change the door, the entire door. They had to take the door off, put a new door on. And the one line was doing it, and I told the foreman what we could do to replace it. Instead of changing the door, and we put two-phase tape behind the rubber so it held it up so it looked clean, neat. And we ended up, my partner and I, with $200-some a piece out of it. But the foreman was a real good foreman because he went through and figured out how much it cost and to do it and made all the paperwork out, and all we had to do was sign it. I got an umbrella for him.
Mike Fleming got an umbrella. Can you share with us, Mr. Service, one of the maybe the worst days that you had at Fisher Body, as opposed to maybe one of the best days that you can remember having there?
I don't think I ever had a bad day at Fisher Body.
Can you remember a particular day that was be considered your best day or a good day that stands out over and above the rest?
I think all the days were pretty good. There wasn't anything that really stood out. All retirees going out, stuff like that. But certain retirees going, certain superintendents going, different plants, and so on.
Was there a particular superintendent that you got along with or had more favor with than others that you'd like to talk about? Anybody in particular that stood out that you really thought was a great guy?
I got along great with the superintendents and the plant managers. Because the night shift plant managers would come down and see how things were running.
Did you know who that was?
Well, he's a little short guy. I was trying to think before I came over what his name was.
It was Joe. It was a little guy named Joe with a little bald head.
They called him Mutton Jeff because the plant manager was a big, tall guy. I don't remember what his name was either. But I think this fellow was an Italian fellow. He came down there and...
Frank Mai?
No.
Wasn't Frank?
No, he was assistant plant manager. He'd come down there and... Well, Bill Smith was one of them, Jimmy Smith,
Wasn't one of them Wilkie Hopkins, or wasn't
no.
he a second shift manager?
Yeah, but he didn't come around. He wasn't down in 17 like the old building. When they came down out of Building 5, paint shop up there, they'd have a crayon on the window, what was the matter with it, or if it had to be returned to paint. And old Bill Smith, he had his suit on the whole shot. And he's checking the jobs coming out of paint. He'd look at them, wipe it off, windshield. Says, you got a ticket on here. What does it say? I tell him, we don't need that. And off it goes. Said, okay, look, whatever you want. McKinstry, he'd come down there and grab a chew off of me. They'd bring down these big, long, green cigars every now and then. He'd cut about that much off and give me the rest. Here, you smoke that. And that's one thing you could do on the line. You could smoke. Except in the paint shop, of course. The body shop where you had... That was the thing when they came out with butane lighters. They didn't want you to have them in the body shop because the spark might get down and go through that and blow the whole thing up. I don't know if they still do it or not. That's when you could smoke in the plant.
Doreen Howard, 50 years is a long time to be employed anywhere. What made coming to work every day important to you? Why would you know, to come to work for 50 years? What, you know.
Well, it was R&R away from the white. Right?
And the kids, right?
Right.
Doug Rademacher. So quite honestly, you said you never had a bad day at Fisher Body. It changed names over time. But it was BOC, then LCA. And you took a recent retirement. Can you share the feeling you had when you found out that they were going to close the plant permanently?
Well, when it first went around that they were going to eliminate one shift or one line, I talked to she was a superintendent. And her and I got along real good. And I said, I can't understand why you want to cut the A line off and bring the B line down. That's what I still call the A and the B line. She said, well, it's going to cost so much money. I think $2.5 million to bring them downstairs. She said, if we left them upstairs, it'd be less money. But, she says, I can go down there in the area and stand on that stairway going up to the second floor, and I can see the whole thing. Up here, I can't. And I said, well, it still seems like a waste of money when you're trying to save money. She said, well, we don't have any alternative. That's what they tell us. When it goes down, I hate to think of all the bottles that have come out of them walls. There'll be quite a few.
Which bottles are those?
It could be the brown bottles, or it could be the windshields that are buried in the floor up there. The old building five.
So talk about that. There's things that went on in the plant that...
Oh, scrap was hidden all the time. One foreman, he sticks sill plates down the body truck, but if the one end wasn't plugged when they went down the chute, they'd come out, he'd get caught, didn't know anything about it. Headliners went in, in the quarter panels, in the trunk, jammed up in there where they'd be hid with a trim. Just stuff like that.
You're saying they did this to hide the scrap so as not to claim it?
Yep. Supposed to turn in all your scrap. We found out in repair, if you had a switch or something didn't work, electrical, then you had it sent back to the department for them to make it out, they'd go right back on the line. Because we marked a couple of them. We'd get that in, it wouldn't work, pull it out, there was our mark on it. So consequently, when we got a switch or something electrical, like a glass regulator, the regulator got bent so bad that they couldn't be used again, couldn't be bent back out straight, and the switches accidentally fell on the floor and somebody'd step on them. And in the trash they go. It's a waste of our time. It's a waste of their time to keep running them down to us. Stock department. We put in the wrong stock. The operator not paying attention. He didn't know. They all looked the same. Window glass and electric door glass, or the glass and the electric locks. One time, they had the wrong box in there, and they were all coming off the end of the line because the glass wouldn't work. And the guys from Rough Hardware came down there and couldn't understand because they worked when they left there and couldn't figure it out. I walked over to the fellow that was foreman there, the superintendent. I said, if you change the switch in the back, they've got lock switches in there instead of glass switches.
Mike Fleming, Mr. Service, 50 years. Can you talk about quality then? Did the quality go up? Did it stay the same? Or did it go back down? What was the difference in the quality and the amount of repair you had to do from starting to ending?
Repair went down. From when I first started out, I think. But the quality was still there. Even when we had to repair them after we got done. We didn't, probably you've heard of Shastering.
What was it called, sir?
Shastering.
No, could you explain that?
Well, that's when you do something that you're not supposed to do the wrong way. And if you did it the right way, it might take you longer to do it, but you could do it another way and it still had the same effect and the same quality. Hi.
So it stayed, the quality went the same way, you just had less repair.
Yeah, but bigger repair. And we got the dash, IP, when we had to put that in. And people, they took us into a meeting and told us that you didn't have to worry about the airbag blowing, unless it was shorted out. And there's no way in the world that thing could be shorted out on that side where the airbag was. But consequently, on the other side, they had a wire hanging down that hooked up to the airbag that went in the steering column that we didn't use or didn't install, and that would get cut. Yeah, that got cut, and we had to change the whole wire. You couldn't splice it because they'd check it over there at the ohms. If it didn't have the right ohms going through it, it wouldn't blow that airbag. MVSS.
And what does that stand for, Doug Rademacher?
Motor Vehicle Safety Standards. Last I knew, maybe they changed it around.
Mike Fleming, that's a federal guideline? Well, it, yeah. Was that a federal guideline? So anything?
We changed taillight lenses. We changed for on the station wagons when we had the F-85, the Cutlass station wagon. If they stopped the line, which nobody had any control over, when the line went down, they were left in the oven, and the heat from that oven would distort that lens. So we had to check them, and they finally got that straightened out so they didn't have them stopping in the oven. There wasn't anything in the oven when they shut the line down. But it was only on the station wagon that they did it. It wasn't on regular cars.
Doug Rademacher, what was the reason for such quality? Can you put it into words? Why did Lansing become known for capital of quality?
Well, we had some people that, I don't know if they didn't want quality, or they had other things that they wanted to do, or they missed something, and they didn't have the sense enough to fix it and fix it right. But it more or less, you'd see somebody else on the line when you hired in, and they were doing their job, and I think it just fell down into the person that they hired in. Now, my granddad worked there back in the 40s, early 40s. And it's down in the archives. I don't know what they're going to do with all that stuff that's in the vault down there. Probably junk it. But she told me, I can't think of her name, Andy Graham's friend.
Michelle Benfield.
Michelle said she saw it for my granddad's records down there. I was the second generation to go in there. But as far as when I first started out, the washers that come on screws now are, they're all snapped together now. You need a body protection if you get in an accident, because it's not the collision that's going to kill you, it's going to be the plastic trim coming off and kill you. Well, we put a little washer on there, drilled a hole, put the screw through the washer, put it through the hole we drilled. Now it's all self-tappers if they've got them.
Jerry Smith, is... what is your most appreciated bargain benefit that you get from the union? Or from your contract, I should say.
Well, retirement. I guess we're going to lose part of our insurance. But that, the way I read it, or read it, in the... synopsis in the Free Press, I guess it was, or news, that basically they want you to go with this mail-in Medicare or Medicaid, whatever you call it, get your supplies through them.
Medco. Yeah.
Which we do. And then for emergency room, it used to be covered, and now it's, they're going to add $50 for it. Outside of that, I can't see anything too much different right now. Of course, after they get it all finalized, it could be something different. But I thought when I first went in there, we paid part of our Blue Cross, half of it. And now Before I got out of there, they bring this up for insurance. And I said, hey, we used to do that, and I can't say any reason why I can't go back to that and pay part of it. Just like everything else, insurance has gone up, wages have gone up.
Doreen Howard, you've been at Fisher Body plant and retired from there. You have a lot of knowledge and skills that you've used over the years that you've learned from in there. What words of wisdom could you offer to the new people that will be coming in to work for Lansing Delta plant when we start up over there?
Well, I told them back in when we first got to Pontiac, over here at Main Street School, we had, what, 1-2 weeks orientation over there, different departments. And they were telling how we had to work together. Well, we have worked together. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been where we were. I wouldn't have got the car. And this superintendent got up there and was explaining to the repair group mainly how we had to work together, and everything was going fine. And one of the fellows that I knew, Roger Ball, he interrupted the superintendent. He says, I don't know why you're telling us this. He said, that old man sitting over there, being me, he said he's told us for the last 20 years that a job well planned is a job half done. He says, you're trying to tell us that now, and he told us that years ago. And that's basically going to the monster. You plan your job and it's half done. Sometimes I do a lot of planning, but still half done. Is that me?
Is there anything that you would like to tell us that we haven't asked you about at all before we wrap it up here?
No, I don't know. Would be nice if it'd be quite a chore, though, to have groups that work together in certain areas. If we could get a list, because I know some of the fellows that passed away that I worked with, and they taught me a lot of things. And basically that's what I tried to do with the people that came down to me. They'd send a fella down there in 17 when I was alone to help me out, and then the guy would go back upstairs the next day and say, that old man down there, he sure knows what he's doing. He showed me a lot of things. And I said, he's not very old, just because he turned white early. And I started about 21 when I started turning white. They thought me I was old, but I'm old now.
He's only as old as you feel.
Yeah. Well, no, it's that'd be about the only thing I'd like to have.
Okay.
And that'd be very hard to do with the way things are nowadays.
Okay, does anybody else have any other questions of Bruce? I call him Bruce because he's been my neighbor for years. A lot of people know him as Lloyd or Pops, but he's been my neighbor for 38 years, and I've always known him as Bruce. So.
No, they call me Pappy.
Pappy?
Mike Fleming, I got a bit of a personal question. You don't have to answer it. But how old are you, sir?
71.
And you hired in at what age?
No, it must have been 20.
20? Okay.
Well, it's been a wonderful opportunity to meet you and interview you today. We want to thank you.
Yes, well, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.